Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Before the break, Boswell Book Company proprietor Daniel Golden shared his list of books that just might now be on your holiday gift-giving list. Children's book author and illustrator Jan Brett's newest book was not on that list, but I don't think Daniel Golden would object if you included it.
Brett has created more than 35 children's books, all typically centered around animals and folktales. They're painstakingly drawn, intricate, and beautiful illustrations, a work of art really on each page. Some of her best-known books include The Mitten, The Hat, and Comet's Nine Lives. Her latest is perfect for the season. It's called Gingerbread Christmas. And Jan Brett's recent tour took her to Milwaukee, where I caught up with her in her tour bus, along with one of her feathered friends. Jan Brett, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us.
You are very welcome.
So we're here on your traveling gingerbread Christmas tour bus with one of your chickens. What's his name?
This is Elf. He's a white-crested black Polish rooster, and he appears in the book.
He does.
And when I do my talk, I have a book signing, but beforehand, I give a little drawing lesson, and I draw Elf.
Oh, excellent.
And I give all these little secrets, drawing secrets to the children so that they will have something to take back with them.
Now, this Gingerbread Christmas adds to the many children's books that you've drawn and illustrated, over 35 books. So first off, how did Gingerbread Christmas come to you, and how do you decide what your next book subjects are going to be?
Yeah, well, a lot of times ideas come from animals that I have. This particular one, you know, I had always loved the folktale and have retold it as the gingerbread baby. And in the story, original story, the gingerbread baby, they open up the oven too soon. He pops out. He kind of taunts everyone and is rascally and mischievous and runs off and is caught by a fox and eaten. And when I was little, I thought that was a little harsh because I identified with the gingerbread baby. I was mischievousy and rascally and full of myself. Mm-hmm. So this time in my book, I have a creative solution so that in the borders, the little boy is making a gingerbread house, and so the gingerbread baby escapes into the house, and then he takes him home. Next book, he gets friends, and in this book, the little boy, Maddie, comes back from the square where they're having Christmas festivities, and he says, oh, they have a bandstand down there, and the gingerbread baby says, I'll bring my band. And Maddie says, but you don't have a band. So a little bit of question led to the story. But to tell you the truth, I have all these cookie cutters I love to bake. And I have a cow, pig. And I was thinking, well, if you open the oven too soon, would they come out mooing and oinking? And I thought, wow, I've got a violin. What if it came out playing music? And my husband is in the Boston Symphony. It's his 55th year as a bass player. And I go to all the concerts, and I get a lot of ideas listening to them play. I thought, I'll make a gingerbread band. They open up the oven too soon, Maddie does, intentionally, and out they come playing an instrument, and down they go to the town square. So part of the answer to your question is that they, I got inspired by my cookie cutters.
Well, and one of my other questions kind of related to that is, you know, were you inspired by your husband's work? Because obviously his music is a big part of both of your lives, you traveling with him while he works and vice versa. But this is one of your first books that features instruments.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, you know, did the music influence not strike you sooner, or were you just waiting for Gingerbread Baby to put this all together?
I was waiting for Gingerbread Baby, but I do have Berlioz the Bear, the bear that plays the double bass. So that story came about at Tanglewood, which is the Boston Symphony's musical home in the summer. And I said, Joe, does the weather affect your instruments? Because we'll have thunderstorms and then a dry spell, and the instruments are sometimes 300 years old, sometimes older, antiques, valuable. And he says, oh yeah, what can happen is the wood can open up and you get this terrible buzz. And all these years I've been looking up at his double bass, over 6 feet tall, huge, made out of wood. And there's a little F-hole that I thought, you know, something could live in there. I thought, it would be a bee. So that was the genesis of the story of the Berlioz the Bear. And so it wasn't actually the first musical book, but I've kind of been waiting for my chance. Mm-hmm.
And this book also accompanies so much of the Swiss village and the many elements from the architecture to the decorations and the costumes on the people. And you've done a lot of traveling that influences your books. So When you were in Switzerland, did you take photos of what you want to keep in your books, those elements, or do you all draw from memory of your experiences?
You know, I try to draw a lot from memory because it kind of filters through my mind, but I will keep reference books. Generally, it's reference books. And I will take some photographs. I just like to live in the moment more and absorb. And then I'm just not a photographer type. So I do remember them, and I'll bring back books and stuff. But mostly I had to eat lots and lots of gingerbread. No, that was kind of a joke. But I did have a basket of gingerbread people that I would make. And then as they came out of the oven and still warm, then I would kind of twist them into shapes, and they would stay like that. So I had this big basket of gingerbread on my desk, and it was very delicious smelling. But I noticed that it kept getting lower and lower. I'm like, what's going on with this? And I look at the bottom of the basket, and a mouse had come up and was eating the gingerbread people from the bottom. Of course, that I lost my appetite completely for those gingerbread babies. But you never know where the book's going to take you. I always have all kinds of stuff all around my art room that kind of I use it for reference. And lots of books about how to frost cakes and things, because each page is decorated with all kinds of frosting and powdered sugar and all kinds of things. And chickens.
Oh, chickens, that I can see the clear influence from. With your illustrations, they're so detailed, and every page has a border and has kind of a mirror image on both ends that can, for some readers, like give a hint as to what's to come. And both aspects are really detailed. So I'm wondering, do you draw the borders first and then the inside? And on average, how long does it take you to complete a page?
Well, I would say it takes an hour to do an inch. That's what I tell the children, because they are always wondering, how come my picture doesn't look like your picture? Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I wish I had the oomph and pizzazz that they have in their artwork. But I always tell them, I feel like when I can walk into the page, that's when the picture is done. So I have both things going on simultaneously, but often I will do the center part of the picture and leave the borders to last, because if I have to adjust it, as far as like, maybe it needs to feel more warm and fuzzy at this point, maybe I need to make it more suspenseful at this point, then I have a little bit of wiggle room there that I can adjust the art. So all the time it's adjusting and focusing, refocusing, or focus might be a better word. Maybe I want to really have one character be front and center, and I can do that in the borders a little bit too.
There is this one page that has a pop-out, which a lot of your books don't necessarily have, and it's this beautiful, massive Christmas tree. How long did it take you to do just that tree?
Oh, it probably took about a week.
Oh.
But, there's a funny story with it. I have this friend, Elof, and he's a naturalist, and he often goes into the woods with his grandchildren, and they observe nature. They go up into a blind up in the trees, and they have their binoculars, and they're looking at, deer coming by and stuff like that, and they're all up there with their warm clothes on and their binoculars and stuff. Somehow I'm picturing this in the snow. But so he's up there with his six-year-old son, Axel. And he says, Axel, you have to be completely quiet and absolutely still so that the animals won't be afraid. And he goes, but Farfar, they're Swedish, but Farfar, I'm 6 years old. I can't be absolutely quiet and completely still. And when he told me that story, I said, that is a quote I have to use at some point, because children, he just had the self-realization that he's six, he can't do that. And he told his grandfather, which just shows what an open relationship they had and everything. So that's what the gingerbread baby says. He hides in the tree because there's all these ornaments there, but it would be a big giveaway if he like wiggles or moves. Mm-hmm. And like when you're six and you have to go to church or you have to go to some ceremony, and it's like you have to be completely quiet and absolutely still, and is the humming okay? No. Kicking your feet against the wood? No, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. But I just remember being six. As a matter of fact, I would say I'm really not that talented artist, but I'm very good at remembering what it was like to be six. And I have, as a muse, my six-year-old self on my shoulder going, no, yes. So I think that's why my books are so much fun for me to draw, because it gives, children have a very fresh and vibrant insight into life. They have that sense of discovery. So when I do my books, I feel like I'm tapping back into that And it's very life-affirming and just great. It's like putting the button back on start.
I would consider your books to be part of that children's literature canon, you know, right by Goodnight Moon, Kevin Hankes.
You
know, it's such an integral part of every children's bookshelf. What is it about children's book, do you think, that makes them so timeless? You know, because I think your books will be, you know, on the shelves for years and years
so
to come.
Nice to
because
say that.
They're
well,
classics.
Well, I'll just think back to Beatrix Potter, because she's the person was my touchstone. She's the artist and writer that I always go back to as being the epitome of someone that really captured the world of literature for me. And it's children's literature. It's really not for adults. And why don't children deserve to have their own literature? I think the answer is, of course, they do. But what I liked about Beatrix Potter is that she would use words that I might not have ever heard before, but in the context, I could understand. Like Peter Rabbit implores the sparrows to exert themselves. And I thought, I know what that means. Implore means really wants them to, and exert means to, you know, make a lot of action. And I thought, oh, I've got a new word. And I just felt that she didn't dumb it down for me, which I really appreciated. I know that children are learning to read, but that doesn't mean that what they have as an intellect or imagination is any way simple. It's very nuanced, and I think children thirst for a place that they can have that communicated to them, because the other channels are somehow blocked off. They don't have the vocabulary or the experience. So a children's book is kind of this special sanctuary where they can be appreciated for what they are, their high intelligence, their vibrancy, their being able to absorb things, their ability to focus. Like, I love it when children open up a book and they get their pointer finger out and they just go all around the page. There's no time limit. They're just involved, totally absorbed in the book. And that's what I loved about Beatrix Potter and her illustrations. I mean, John Joyner is going up onto the roof, and this is was the one about the Elvis. you heard me getting excited, huh, Elf? And so it was the Roly Poly Pudding. That was one of my favorites. And he goes, John Joyner is a carpenter, and that's a British word, Joyner, but I could figure it out. And he goes up on the roof tiles, and you can just feel the sunlight on the roof tiles. It's just the way she was able to capture all these things in her art is what I aspire to do too. So that as a child looks at the book, they're feeling the wind on their face, or they're feeling the bite of the cold, and so on.
Well, and one other thing I think is crucial to children's book is that it's tangible, it's physical. So despite adults reading things on a tablet or online, children's books are something that will need to be held and touched forever. Do you think this will always be the case?
I do, because when I draw, I draw another similarity to actually drawing my pen rather than doing it on the computer. People always say, oh, you know, you can get this program, blah, blah, blah. I said, I love the feeling of the brush on the paper. It's just like people knitting. There is something tactile of that human beings liked this repetitive motion that somehow is meditative or... I haven't got an answer exactly what it is, but there you go. Oh, sorry.
The chickens are leaving.
There go the chickens. They're going into the talk.
Yes.
It's going to be a big surprise. No one's going to know unless they give it away with that little cock-a-doodle-doodle.
Right. Well, I know you have to be on stage soon, but let me just thank you for taking the time, and I love your new book, and I look forward to the many other books to come.
Oh, well, thank you so much, and I hope if just one child that's here comes and says, and looks at my drawing and says, I can do that, that they'll go back, and because it's really an innate human skill. Across all cultures, back in time, people love to draw, does something inside that is kind of spiritual, and the whole drawing of your imagination. And if I could just have one child walk away and go home and do a wonderful picture, I would be happy.
Well, I'm sure that'll happen today. Thank you, Jan Brett.
Thank you.
Jan Brett is the author of more than 35 children's books, the latest of which is called Gingerbread Christmas. We spoke with her in her tour bus, which was parked just outside the Milwaukee Central Library.